The Christian in Complete Armor by William Grinnell. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18, chapter 47. Why extraordinary prayer is to be superadded to ordinary. But why is extraordinary prayer to be superadded by the Christian to his ordinary exercise of it? First, in obedience to the command of God. He commands not only that we should pray always, but with all prayer also. And extraordinary prayer is one kind amongst the rest. Therefore, let none of us say, it is not enough to pray once or twice every day. We must, upon some occasions, devote a whole day to this duty, even to the neglect of everything else. Oh, what regards which some be towards God, were they left free to devote what time they thought fit for this, for his worship. This cavil sounds like that of Judas. To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. But this he said, not that he loved the poor, but because he was a thief. Truly, when I hear some carnal wretches cry out against this waste of time in prayer and fasting, how much more the improvement of that time, if laid out in their callings, have benefited their families. I am ready to think it is not because they have much care for the relations as they pretend, for they who grudge a day for prayer can throw many away at the alehouse or in idleness, but they carry thievish hearts in their bosoms, which love to rob God of his due, and care not how little service they put him off with. Is he a loyal subject that pays the ordinary tribute to his prince? But if occasion of state requires a subsidy, this he refuses or doth it reluctantly. God's commands are none of them so grievous that they should need to grumble under them. Those yokes, duties and commands, I mean, whose outsides seems most hard, have the softest lining within. What seems harder than suffering? And yet, when are saints more full of heaven's joy? What duty more austere than this of fasting and afflicting our souls? And yet, in the breast of this lion that scares sensual wretches, the Christian finds the sweetest honeycomb of inward comforts. Temple work is yet to be well paid, if well done. Though it be nearer so little work in his house, God will not have it done gratis. None shall kindle a fire on his altar for naught, and therefore he takes it in great disdain at their hands who say, what profit is it that we have kept his ordinancy, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Malachi 3:14. Whereas the fault was not in the duty, but in themselves, that they got no more by it, as if a wicked servant should bring himself by his riot and excess to poverty, and then give out that a hard master hath undone him. Secondly, to comport with the providence of God by a suitable return of duty to his actions and dispensations towards us. When God is extraordinary in his providence, he expects his people should be more than ordinary in seeking him. When what God means this scripture? This will I do unto thee, O Israel, because I will do this unto thee. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Amos 4:12. Here God alarms them by his extraordinary proceeding intended against them to take the hint and apply themselves to the solemn practice of repentancy and humbling of their souls as a suitable posture to meet God in and keep off the storm of his wrath. Is it not high time for a nation to betake themselves to their defensive arms when a mighty host is marching against them? So Isaiah chapter 26 verse 20. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee, etc. Here he sends his people to their chambers that they may, by afflicting their souls in fervent prayers, finding a hiding place in the day of his indignation. And why? Verse 21. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place and punisheth the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The rising of God out of his place imports that he is about to perform some notable enterprise. And when the master rises, it is not proper for the servant to sit still, but to rise also and prepare to follow him where he goes. God takes special notice how we behave ourselves and comport with his dispensations of judgment or mercy. Isaiah chapter 22, verse 12. In that day did the Lord of God of hosts call to weeping and to mourning. That is, he called them by the voice of his providence as well as his prophets, the nature of which was such that, had not their lust stopped up their ears and made them deaf, they could not but hear and understand. And that was the time, if ever, when God expected to see them in sackcloth and tears, humbling their souls before him. Now see how he looks upon their security and profane slighting of his providence. Verse 14. And it was revealed in my ears by the Lord of hosts, surely this iniquity shall not be purged from you till ye die, saith the Lord God of hosts. Few sins provoke God more than this. Psalms 28, verse 5. Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands, he shall destroy them and not build them up. So Daniel 5:22, and thou, O Belshazzar, hath not humbled thy heart, though thou knowest all this. This lost him his life and kingdom, as the contrary saved Ahab's for a time, though it was not so sincere as it ought. A temporal humiliation got him a temporal benefit. Thirdly, for the great influence that this extraordinary duty, solemnly performed, would have upon our whole life. To keep the body healthy requires not only daily food, but now and then physic. For in the soundest constitution, with the best care and temperance, there will in time such a quantity of superfluous humors together that nature without help cannot digest. And truly the temper of the soul is as infirm and needs as much attention as the body. Ordinary prayer is the saint's food. He can as little miss the constant returns of it as his usual means. But ordinary prayer is his physic to clear and charge the soul of those distempers which it contracts and cannot conquer by the use of ordinary means, as also to advance and heighten the Christian's graces unto a further degree of strength and activity. So God hath in his wise providence ordered one star of great influence to be at a certain season of the year in conjunction with the sun for the more effectual ripening the harvest in these colder parts of the world. So hath he in the same wisdom appointed for the Christian spiritual advantage and help in this cold climate of the world, that this solemn duty should now and then be taken in conjunction with our ordinary exercise of devotion, for want of which it is that many ripen slower, both in their graces and comforts, than some of the fellow saints who sit often under the influences of this quickening ordinancy. End of chapter 47.